Hello, I'm Salman al-Najm. I'm an artist based in Bahrain.
I'm Michelle Schifaletti, and you're listening to Thaqafat.
Salman al-Najm is an artist from Bahrain. He received his BA in interior design from the University of the Arts in London before switching to follow his true passion and receive his master's in fine arts from painting from the Royal College of Art in London. His artistic process relies on his ability to let go of the conscious constraints and to allow the subconscious mind to freely guide his hand into creating cryptic sketches and doodles. His work is filled with emotion, thoughts, and questions. These sketches then go through a production method of study, selection, and refinement to then be on canvas. This process serves as a therapeutic, introspective, and conversational expression of the divine. His paintings' purpose are constructed at a later process through examining the work closely and dissecting individual elements. Salman has exhibited his paintings throughout the world, including in Saudi Arabia, France, the United Arab Emirates, London, Bahrain, Italy, among many others. Salman, welcome. I'm so happy to have you here today.
Hi, Michelle. Thank you very much for having me. I'm very happy to be here.
I think we'll start by taking a little bit of a zoom out. So share with our listeners a little bit about who you are and how you got to your artistic journey.
I've always been interested in art ever since I was a child. I'd scribble on desks and have interested in like drawing cartoon characters and so on. And my mother took attention to that and delegated some like a part of gave me a section on a table with a piece of paper and a few colors, and I'd always draw. And during school, I would scribble on my desks and so on, and get sent to detention for like scribbling on desks and scribble on desks in detention. So, but up until I reached the 11th grade, I took the IB course, and that's when I took art more seriously, and I was introduced to different artists, and I understood, you know, what art was formally as opposed to just scribbling. I then wanted to continue studying. I was very passionate about art, and it quickly became something I was interested in more than anything else. So I wanted to study arts or anything to do with the arts, but I was too young to kind of know what to do about that. My father recommended that I study interior design because it's kind of artistic. I think this is like a usual thing that happens in not just the GCC, but most countries where parents kind of want their children to study something, you know, safe and something they can get a job with. So I studied interior design for 4 years at London College of Communication. And, you know, it wasn't something that nourished kind of my creative urge. I would always come back during breaks and paint. And I feel like it's not, getting a safe degree is not a very good idea. I think especially nowadays, it's very important for, or can be very important for, you know, the younger generations to kind of pursue their, you know, dreams in a more free way because of all the things that are opening up with social media and also the current kind of buzz about art and culture and also creativity in general. After that, I came back to Bahrain and I worked as an interior designer for 1 year. And I didn't enjoy it very much. And so I decided that I would stop doing the interior design and I'd go do my master's in London, Royal College of Art. And I did my master's in 2 years there. And it was exactly what I wanted. It was exactly what I felt like I needed, being around a community of like-minded people who were also artists, and gave me a chance to learn a lot about a lot of things that I didn't know. Like I feel like growing up, I wasn't very exposed to the arts, very not exposed to like openings, exhibitions, artists, you know, galleries and all of these things. And being able to go to study, to formally study fine arts and painting, it wasn't a course where, you know, you had a lecturer come in or like a tutor come in and teach you about technique or whatever. It's very like free, so mm-hmm. you can do whatever you want to do. And every now and then a tutor would come and check up on you. But the valuable thing about the whole experience was the kind of relationships that I was able to form with my colleagues, and you know, opening up my mind and to what it means to be an artist, you know, or not formally like that, what it means to be an artist, but an example of some, it was good to see an example of someone who is an artist and kind of then learn how to apply that to myself, or just naturally and organically, I'd learn a few things, change my opinions on a few things, be more open-minded and so on.
Yeah, I think it's so important, the building of a community in the artistic, in any practice, but I think in the artistic practice, the ability to receive critique also.
Absolutely. We'd have weekly critiques, which were amazing. And yeah, critiques in general is super important. Like, I also do feel like we come from a place where, you know, we try as much as possible to be nice and say nice things. Mm-hmm. And you know, that can be interesting and nice and good. But I really think it's important to be critical, to, you know, have discussions, which is something that is kind of growing and happening now. But we need more of it. We need to, foster and create a space where people can come together and speak about their work and speak about the things that behind their work. So going into the RCA, I used to paint most of my paint. I didn't give much thought to my paintings. I would just paint them and then that's it. I rarely had someone ask me a question about the work or like, you know, dig about the meaning and so on. So when that started happening at uni, I quickly became aware that I had to put more thought in my paintings, not necessarily while doing it, because personally, I don't enjoy thinking too much about my work. I like it to flow. I like it to come through me. But like post painting, I think it's important. Now I stop and I ponder and I think about my paintings a lot after I paint them. I fancy myself to be in like in a position, in a kind of space where try to turn off my conscious mind and kind of tap into almost like my subconscious mind by, you know, by distracting myself, watching a podcast, watching something, anything, listening to music and whatever, and kind of get my mind off kind of as like a stillness practice. And I doodle, I'd make elaborate doodles, like all that. And I have an Instagram account for that called Hades is Good. And it's kind of like an archive where I just post these sketches, but that's how my work starts. So I don't think too much about, okay, I want to make a painting about, you know, whatever, you know, this, I want to talk about land reclamation, for example, and I will make a painting about that. It doesn't necessarily start like that. It starts with the doodle or the sketch, and then I look at it and it weirds me out because some of them are like very crazy and like a bit very nonsensical. And it's an interesting and also very, very, very fun process for me to kind of try to decipher what's happening in the sketches. Like, what is myself trying to tell myself through this?
Yeah, to better understand like your own process.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then when I take that and paint it on, I take something inspired by that, or I take something kind of in the same, I continue that process by painting whatever comes up on the sketch. And yeah, and then after I paint them, I make sure I take the time to properly think about the work and properly discover what it's trying to tell me, what the painting is trying to tell me, or even what the painting is trying to say, period.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about your works in a little bit more depth. So first of all, share with kind of the listeners, how would you describe your work? And then let's get into some of the pieces, because there's a lot for us to talk about in some of your specific collections.
I don't really know how I would like to maybe like categorize or speak about my work. It changes often. My work changes often, but I think it's like, I don't know, like if I'm going to use words, it's abstract symbolism, because I do use a lot of symbols, but I do place them abstractly And it's a something I don't really like thinking about too much, because it's really interesting not knowing. Like, I constantly like the surprise that comes from the paint, from the painting. So I don't have a specific formal style. I sometimes work, you know, wet on wet. I sometimes work in a collage based. Sometimes I'm very like viscous. Sometimes I'm very dry with my work. Sometimes the paint is viscous. Sometimes it's dry. Sometimes I'm using spray paint. Sometimes I'm using emulsion pencil. And the reason why I'm laughing is it's not that I'm using these different mediums or these different styles on separate paintings. I'm putting all of them in one painting. So I like anime and I like cartoons. I always have. I've always been interested in, nowadays, like Netflix have 40 minutes, 20, you know, 1 hour, 20 minute series, but like animes are always 20 minutes. A very long time ago, when I was first starting out, I wanted to fill my paintings enough to kind of make them as a 20 minute episode, like packed enough to take the viewer or even myself through a journey or through a story or episode or you know, mini episode. Yes.
Let's talk about symbolism, which you touched upon before. There's a lot of symbolism in your work. I think let's talk a little bit about your series on Schmug.
Yes.
Can you share a little bit about that series, how it kind of came about to you, and a little more about your process with that specific collection?
Yes. Ishtimaiyat is the last series I completed. They're 11 paintings painted on Schmug, like on the Schmug fabric itself. Mm-hmm. It started off by me thinking about this idea of cultural digestivity or digestible culture.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like through social media and through like adverts, and especially how like brands, like international brands now are collaborating with GCC kind of GCC talents and GCC artists and so on. Or even like the brands trying to be more appealing to the GCC.
Yep.
They've been kind of implementing, you know, quote unquote culture in whatever they do. And it kind of looked to me like the, you know, traditions or culture are being shaped in a way where it's digestible for the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. So that's the starting point. So I painted a painting called Digestible. Painted two of them, Digestible 1 and Digestible 2, which is a painting of an Air Jordan 1 with a Schmug pattern on it. And I painted it on Schmug. Initially, I wanted to just do the Air Jordan with Schmug, but then it just clicked like, paint it on Schmug. So I did. And it was really fun and very interesting and also like funny to me. And like, I felt like it was very nonsensical painting on Schmug. Why would anyone want to do that? It's very difficult to paint on Schmug. And like, and also it's kind of visually disturbing, kind of the very strong red pattern, red and white, that also creates pink, which is also really interesting. So I did those paintings kind of like, I like being my work to have double meanings. Like,
Yeah,
I like it when I allow the work to have double meaning, because I don't want to be didactic with my work and say like, this is what I'm saying, you know, and this is what you should hear. It's more of a conversation starter. It's not meant to be a definitive thing. I also like to leave space open for two strong meanings as opposed to one strong meaning. Mm-hmm. I like the two sides at the same time. But anyways, when I painted the Schmug, the sneaker on Schmug, it was kind of like, some people saw the piece and were like, oh, this is a really cool shoe. I would totally wear this. You know, this is awesome. You know, our culture, but also like swag and whatever, and put it together, and it's really cool. But then others were like, no, what is this? Why would you do something like this? Why would you like discount and like water down the culture or the tradition and put it on a shoe and so on? So, and then I thought, and then the word Ishtimaiyat popped in my head, and I thought, okay, so I have a tool, which is the Schmug, to be able to make work that is that brings the conversation of the work to this specific region and nowhere else in the world. So that's was mostly the starting point. And also I was thinking about contemporary painting. I like saying that I'm a painter. And then I started looking at GCC paintings and like Arab world paintings, and I couldn't find a significant amount of contemporary paintings that depicted contemporary Arab people. I found modernist paintings like Abdallah Al-Muharrigi, which is an amazing Bahraini artist who was a modernist cubist painter who depicted a lot of Bahrainis and kind of Bahraini scenes and so on. So I wanted to bring that contemporarily and do a contemporary version of that and kind of document and kind of archive this time in this region through artworks.
That's an interesting point that you bring up about kind of this idea of representation, digestibility of culture, subversiveness in your work. What are you trying to kind of get across with your work, particularly about those topics and kind of the larger concepts? I mean, there's a lot of topics that can really go into, right? I mean, I'm sure there's post-colonial stuff that can touch upon as well. But what are you really trying to say when you talk about digestibility of culture, particularly digestibility of Khariji culture?
We are in an interesting time now where more than ever we've been open to the rest of the world, and the rest of the world has been open to us, and everyone is open on everyone. There's a feeling in the air where lots of people want to show themselves. They want to display, you know, who they are. So I feel like it's an interesting time, especially now, where a lot of people are very engaged in social media, especially in the GCC. Like, I think Saudi Arabia is like number one on Snapchat in the whole world, you know, which is a lot. So there's a lot of posting and a lot of people kind of trying to create a persona for themselves and trying to create a personality. So now more than ever, there are a lot of people who are trying to, and I'm not, you know, I don't fall under that as well, because I also have an Instagram account, and I post different things, and I post this kind of, you know, posting on social media, especially publicly, is, I think it's difficult to not fall into creating a kind of, you know, persona or character. So it's very interesting to see how this creation of character happens through, you know, wanting to be a certain way, mm-hmm. and then also staying traditional or staying within the culture, because right. we're very the GCC of the Khalij is very strongly tied to tradition, and we do value tradition, and we do kind of think of it as a very important aspect of our life.
It's like a deeper dig into identity in general.
Yes.
Speaking of identity, we talk, you know, a lot of your work, it talks about maybe an application of religion. Share a little bit about kind of some of your works that deal with religion and why you choose that as a topic to discuss.
Yeah, it is a heavy topic. And I feel like with Ijtimaiyat, it was like, I started off with my previous series, Suicide and Redemption, where I was kind of thinking about kind of the divine and spiritual things without tying them down to like a specific religion. But I wanted for the Ijtimaiyat, mm-hmm. where I talk about a specific religion and talk specifically about the region, talk about the social application of religion. I think I started with a painting called Hand Shock, which was a painting of a man and a woman shaking hands. And I posted that online, and I got like a lot of people asking, and kind of some people like strongly disagreeing and so on. And I think it's just important to create work that starts a dialogue about different things. And we have a few things in the region where things are kind of decided that they're a part of religion, mm-hmm. but they're not. They're like, they're social elements,
yeah.
but they're labeled as religion, but it doesn't make sense. And it's not even, you know, it doesn't, it's not even quote unquote correct, if, you know, based on. And so the Ijtimaiyat painting has a Quran in the middle of every single painting, and it's always in the same place throughout all 11 paintings. And it's kind of also, again, bringing the topic of the painting on the painting, like the reason why I paint on Shmar, to bring the conversation into the region. I put the kind of mushaf on the painting to kind of start a conversation about the painting in relation to that symbol as a starting point. And also there's a painting I painted called Social Realism, which is kind of like it's the biggest one. It was 3 meters by 1.7 meters. And it's a big painting that acts as a documentation and archive of what's happening now. I take different people from society and put them from contemporary society and put them side by side, like a doctor, a doctor, a blogger, a housewife, a businesswoman, a yoga girl, fitness yoga girl, and also like a hijabi, a burqa wearing. And I feel like it's mostly a documentation mm-hmm. of the times in relation to the place we're in.
I think it's interesting because with a lot of these pieces there's a social commentary aspect, and I paintings of kind of tradition, culture, religion, how all of these are kind of intertwined. I want to talk about one of my favorite series of yours, which is Suicide and Redemption, which is a very interesting and heavy series. Can you share a little bit about kind of the series and your inspiration behind it? Because I think it's a really important series. And I urge everyone who's listening to definitely go and look a little bit deeper into that series.
Thank you. Yes, Suicide and Redemption is, I think, kind of my personal favorite in terms of the works I've made. Yeah. And it started off when I was in a dark place. I've for very long time, or as long as I can remember, far back I can remember, I've always had kind of depressive and dealing with that, and also like suicidal ideas that pop up and so on. So while dealing with that, I thought a very good way for me to get over that is face it as opposed to hide away from it. So I decided to create the series of work where I face these fears of mine head on as opposed to shy away from them, because I feel like, or I've realized through making the work and through also just thinking and reading in general, is that the best way to get through a dark place in your mind or a dark thought in your mind is to shine light on it. Because yeah. Once you unveil it and shine light on the dark part of your mind, you'll realize that it's not as scary as you thought it was. It makes the process much simpler and easier for you to work on. So I decided that I wanted to really seriously work on this aspect of myself or this thing that I go through. And I decided to do it through painting. I tried to do it through making work, and it wasn't even something I planned to do. It was I wasn't feeling very well, and I went to the studio and let loose, as in wasn't thinking about something specific, and put a painting up. And it was a painting that I painted before, and I didn't like it, and I painted it and covered it all in gray and just hit the painting with, and I came up with a painting called Horse Through the Air and Space of Dreams. And that was the starting point for Suicide and Redemption. So as I kind of got a hang of this kind of process, I put together a story, or the paintings happened to make up a story that talks about kind of a person liberating themselves from cultural and societal constraints to kind of become themselves truly and fully. So the series goes through a step by step story of how this person starts off as a child and then ends up saving themselves by liberating themselves from constraints that they find to be inessential and things that weigh them down and pull them down. So the painting so the series starts with a painting called I Cannot Live, I Cannot Die, and ends with a painting called Forms and Things. And the first painting is like it's from a perspective of a child kind of thinking and navigating their way through the world, and then ends with kind of almost like a liberation.
Yeah, the paintings, they deal with a topic that's very deep. Share a little bit about kind of what were the reactions to this painting, because I think it's an important topic to discuss about mental health. I think there's a lot of taboos internationally, not just limited to any region, regarding mental health. So how did people feel when they saw this series? And what were you hoping, more importantly, that people were going to get from this painting series?
I don't think I was hoping for anything. I don't feel like I go into making work hoping. I hope that it's going to be good, like quote unquote good. I hope it's going to be something that I and other people can benefit from. But yeah, I just went into making the work as a form of expression, as a form of like,
you know, creative outlet of some sort.
Yes, exactly. A creative outlet, and just allowing whatever would pass through me, pass through. And, but when I made the work, I was very, very happy with the work when I did it. And I felt so much better about myself, and I still do feel so much better about, you know, how I am with my mind and so on by making these works. So I wanted to show them. I wanted to exhibit these works, but I know that they're not like very, you know, institutional friendly. So I wanted to. I thought I put the paintings up, and we've recently renovated the house, and we have one floor that is unfurnished. So I thought perfect opportunity for me to put the paintings up, and you know, I'll post about it on Instagram and be like, hey, I made these paintings that I'm really interested in, you know, sharing, and you know, come by on this specific day and you know, and have a look at the work, because you know, I feel like it was very important as an artist to show that it adds to the life of the painting being received and being viewed by people. So I posted, you know, I invited about like 50 people and thought like, I don't really know how many people I invited. No, I thought 50 people would show up, but 250 people ended showing up, and it was a full house. And I'm very, very grateful for that, you know, day. And it's one of the best days of my life for sure, because people were coming to the space to look at the work and kind of reacting to the work. And I had great conversations with great people about the work. And there were lots of people who kind of understand what I was going through and what the painting is trying to say. And it was kind of like, you know, it was kind of like an opportunity for people who might be going through something similar to, you know, understand and maybe be inspired by, inspired to also lift the veil from over the dark parts of their own minds to kind of work through anything that takes a hold of them. And, you know, it was very beautiful to see the sparkle in people's eyes. You know, I know the look when, you know, people kind, you know, if someone really understands what, or has gone through something similar, it really shows. So it was very, very nice and heartwarming to see people open up, and it almost created like a small sort of mini community where people were really speaking about these important topics in a positive way, and also like in a beautiful way as art, as opposed to formally, or as opposed to like, you know, like
a way that was filled with support rather than kind of, oh, this is a dark topic that kind of we want to shy away from. I think that's important, is that it opened the dialogue, and also in a very intimate way, because it's your story in your own home.
Yes, exactly. And it's also, it's not also about, it's about it being in a supportive way, but it's also in a beautiful way, because it's in the form of art. I took this dark part of myself and I made these beautiful paintings with it.
Yeah.
you know, even though the paintings are very dark and very like, kind of like, ooh, you know, like creepy and scary, but I really think they're beautiful. And a lot of people did it, you know, do feel this way as well about the work. And I think that's also something great, you know, being able to take such a dark part of yourself and extract it out of yourself and present it in a beautiful way. It's, you know, I feel like it's very, I'm inspired by it, you know, it inspires me. Every time I go and see these paintings, I'm inspired by kind of the how far I've come ultimately and finally and most amazingly be able to share it with people who get it.
Yeah, there's a different level of camaraderie, of sympathy, of empathy when people can see that they're not alone in their journey, but also that, you know, also for you probably as somebody who was creating the work, you know, you were creating it for yourself and then here you are showing work and feeling and seeing that your work has really touched people, whether through their own experience or, you know, maybe through somebody else's experience.
And it's a good example of someone who is going through it, is getting past it. I wouldn't say that I've gotten through it, period, I'm done. But I am in a very, very, I'm very far from where I was starting the work and ending with the work. I am light years away. And I think that inspires me. That really does inspire me. And it, I'm sure it also inspires, I've heard also from people telling me that that also inspires them. And I, you know, what more do you want?
Yeah, that's what art's about, right? It's about a somewhat of an informal line of communication, whatever it is, it's whether it's a positive reaction, a negative reaction, that your work, that's absolutely all you can ask for, right? As an artist, is that your work speaks to somebody in some way, whatever way it is.
Yes. 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 It's when I feel like when that's, I think where, when a work is strong, when it can communicate. And you also use the word empathy, which is very important, which is a very important word that is very prevalent in the theme of art and not necessarily in my specific paintings or anything like that, but in art in general, because when you think about art, you know, you or anyone as a viewer goes to a museum, goes to a gallery, this person goes with open mind. This person goes to see liquid color on fabric. And these paintings are trying to say something to them. This person goes in accepting with an acceptant mind. Tell me what you want to say. Show me what you want me to see with open eyes and open ears. It is an exercise to be more open-minded.
Definitely.
Also the empathy and sympathy, and also most importantly, the sensitivity. When you go up to an artwork, and especially I try to do this with my work where I work with different textures and work with different paints and different shines. So especially with the Suicide and Redemption painting, some of them are iridescent, translucent, iridescent. So the color changes when you walk back and forth. So I wanted to add that element. So this element allows people to be more sensitive, to stand closer to the painting, to look deeper into the painting, to find. And this sympathizing this way with a piece of work, which is an inanimate object, really does translate to our everyday life. It can really, you can be open-minded and see someone and be like, you know, I'll listen to what you have to say. And then you can be sensitive in, you know, reading between the lines, seeing what the person is trying to say.
Yeah, it's a really a powerful thing. And like you said, you know, even just taking the step to want to view art and experience art, and you know, you're making that conscious decision when you go to an art show, or even now when you go on social media and you look at art pages, you're making a conscious effort to absorb something, right? Whether you react positively, negatively, emotionally, it's about that opening yourself to experience something, which I think is very powerful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes.
I want to ask you, I think there's so many topics that I know you and I could talk for hours on many topics, but I have to ask you our last question, which is, what does culture mean to you, Salman?
So culture is an interesting word, because I feel like in the Khalij, it has become an umbrella term that or can become an umbrella term that means tradition and culture at the same time. Mostly when we say culture, we mean tradition. And I think separating and differentiating between the two can be very mm-hmm. important, because tradition is something that has happened in the past, which is something that is, you know, that has happened, that is, you know, almost set in stone. Whereas culture is something fluid. So culture is something that changes every day. Culture is not, you know, culture is moving. It's something that is moving and continuously changing day by day. So I think it's very important to create culture as opposed to hold on to culture. And by creating culture, we create our own understanding of the world. We can define it for ourselves as opposed to holding on to something from the past. I think culture is something that is continuously changing, and we continuously define what culture means to us. It doesn't necessarily have to be linked to tradition, because linking tradition to culture can create a kind of dogmatic area where people might be confined to have to think a certain way or be a certain way. I think culture is a way to be who and what you want to be and create your own culture.
Salman, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm very happy to be here, and thank you for everything you're doing with this platform.
I want to thank everyone for taking a chance to listen today. Salman's work is super interesting. I think the concepts that he puts forward in his paintings are really thought-provoking. So I urge everyone who is interested to definitely check out his work. You can find him on Instagram at smnejm, where you can see a little bit more of specific works that he's on, or visit him on his website at smnejm.com. And as always, you can follow us at The Thaqafat to stay updated, and make sure you subscribe. Until next time.